True. I have been diagnosed with multiple chemical sensitivities, MCS. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine explains MCS as a very real chronic medical condition. Recent estimates suggest that chemical sensitivity, meaning hyperreactivity to various environmental agents, afflicts 10 to 15% of the American population. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine is an international association of physicians and scientists in the forefront of researching the relationship between health and the environment. Their position paper on fluoride states, fluoride is a known neurotoxin and carcinogen even at the levels added to public water. They support banning the addition of fluoride to public water systems. Recently, my dentist put topical fluoride on my teeth, and I mentioned this to my medical doctor. He recommended I never put fluoride in my mouth again. We talked about the potential deleterious impact of water fluoridation on my health. For me, this is a frightening prospect. My doctor practices in Vancouver and has an expensive water filtration system in his home and office and protects his patients from systemic fluoride, at least when they drink water in his office. Furthermore, multiple chemical sensitivities is a disability under the American with Disabilities Act. This law created permanent civil rights protections for people with disabilities. Therefore, I believe it is my legal right not to be forced to consume fluoride. I am the canary in the coal mine. Per the statistics provided by the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, fluoridating Portland's water would adversely affect the health of approximately 60 to 90,000 citizens. I find it very hard to believe their elected officials are willing to deny this evidence. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. You spoke very fast, which I appreciate, but you said known carcinogenic, and then you gave a citation. I just want to make sure I captured that.
It's from the American Academy of Environmental Medicine.
And then that was the same citation then for the last point you were making as well?
Yes. Then I just extrapolated to the population of Portland.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hi, welcome.
My name is Dr. Patricia Murphy. I'm a naturopathic physician. If you vote to add fluoride to our water, you have the ethical and moral obligation to understand how fluoride affects human physiology. I submit that you do not. Fluoride affects more than just the teeth. You've heard from other people that there are several groups of people at risk, and I wanted to add about infants. The CDC says that infants should not drink only fluoridated water. And I suspect that those who have low income are not going to be able to afford bottled unfluoridated water for their infants. Mayor Adams, the letter that you wrote a few days ago, you stated in the letter that the NRC report concluded that there were no negative health effects from fluoride. This is factually wrong. They cite many health concerns with fluoride. And I have submitted a document to you that in part explains the NRC's fluoride report. It was written by one of the authors of the report, and I have highlighted it for easy reading. So it's only 20 pages as opposed to over 500. And a few concerns raised by this report are they say flat out that it is an endocrine disruptor. No, it's over in that pile over there.
It's the August 17th, which report?
No, April 2011. I just gave them to the city clerk. Okay.
Yeah. We have it. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
As far as the endocrine system goes, they have particular concerns about diabetes and the thyroid. And we know that those are two major problems in this country right now. They state that fluoride can interfere with functions of the brain and body, including concerns about brain chemistry, free radical formation, and the immune system. Since fluoride is stored in the bones, and the immune system, a lot of immune system cells are made in the bones. This is a particular concern. We need to know what kind of interaction is going on there. And it took decades of intense investigating of lead for us to finally accept that lead lowers IQ. The indicators are such with the IQ studies that it looks like fluoride may be headed in the same direction. This is something really to take seriously. Ignoring the red flags we have now from new research is irresponsible. It is also poor public health policy. I feel like everybody deserves good teeth. Everybody deserves good food. and everybody deserves to be healthy. Fluoride is not a silver bullet here. Portland has adopted the precautionary principle as policy. It is time now to invoke it in relation to water fluoridation. Thank you.
Thanks. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Charlie White. This isn't about me, but I am one of the over 59 million Americans living with mild to severe thyroid symptoms. Some of these are fatigue, weight gain, low blood pressure, fluid retention, constipation, and more. This is a chronic health issue, actually, and it's one greater, actually, than your skewed dental crisis, which really addresses the Oregon dental crisis, not Portland's statistics. And there are others who can address that. The very children you aim to help with water fluoridation will actually further compromise their already compromised immune systems because these children don't have adequate nutrition. They are needing adequate education, nutrition, and the dental care that they're getting. While you are not the dentists who put mercury fillings in our mouths, calling them amalgams, nor the doctors who inject us with mercury, calling it adjuvants, you seem to be acting as if you know more about our health and prevention than we do. You say you take the hard line. We need to take responsibility for our own health, and we feel, those of us who are concerned about water fluoridation, are feeling that our health is jeopardized by this decision. There are many of us who will be at risk. And that you are actually risking the health of an entire metropolitan region, despite our objections to adding this cumulative body burden of toxic chemicals. Lead and arsenic also come along with fluoride and other pollutants. Were you to honor the precautionary principle you signed on to in 2006, you would protect us from fluoride, not force us to drink it. Your decision of forced fluoridation is not only unconscionable, in my opinion, but guarantees the people of Portland increased thyroid dysfunction, heart disease, GI problems, obesity, and cancer, to name a few, and I say that is possible. As city council members, you are legally responsible for these health effects, which are the real crisis. Approximately two-thirds of the water in the United States is synthetically fluoridated. It is no wonder tens of millions of Americans are suffering from the effects of toxicity, spending billions of dollars on prescription drugs to relieve their most common symptoms. While it may not be water fluoridation alone, credible institutions suggest it is a major contributor to the ill health of the population. All this while there is no government agency, no public institution, no medical board, no special dental special interest group, no public health official, no city commissioner, and no individual who's ever taken responsibility for the destructive health effects of this ill-advised policy. Show me one. Portland is revered as progressive, yet to mandate an outdated, unsafe, and ineffective water fluoridation policy is willing to spoil our precious resource and compromise our health. Do I have more time?
No, you're out of time. But I do have a question for you that I just want to get your take. You talked about, and someone else mentioned, and we'll have questions for others as well, the Portland metropolitan area has better tooth health than the rest of the state of Oregon. And I'll ask staff to research that, but two big cities in the metropolitan area fluoride their water. So wouldn't that be expected? Vancouver, Washington, which is 150,000, and Beaverton, which is almost 90,000. So doesn't that make sense that we would have two big cities in the region would skew the results?
Dr. Bill Osmondson could address this far better than I, but I do know for a fact that the overall statistics include Oregon. They're based on Oregon statistics. Portland children who have not been fluoridated typically have better teeth, and there's a whole United States statistical standard, and there are other people who could address that better than myself, but I did want to say that.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks. Hi, welcome.
Hello. My name is Susan Miller, and I just want to say to everyone, this has been a fantastic experience today to hear all of the comments made by everyone. I think it's a great coming together, and I appreciate our working together. So, Mayor Adams and commissioners, I just want to say the city's teachers are back in the classroom this week, and as a result, they cannot be here. but I just retired at the end of the last school year, so I can contribute, I hope, to the well-being of all those people involved in the educational process. Teachers love their students, take great joy in their every progress, and hurt when those kids hurt. That's why I'm here today. I taught in a fantastic high school in Beaverton for 11 years, and I would like to tell you what I saw after Beaverton fluoridated its water supply in the spring of 2004. Within a year of that addition, I was certain that I saw decreasing memory among my students in such mental functions as remembering vocabulary, grammar, and facts, integrating ideas, and seeing connections. Learning any foreign language uses many more mental functions than just learning in our native language, so it's not surprising that some of those impairments seem to show up in a foreign language class. With each passing year, the memory loss seemed more pronounced, and I heard many students express their own frustration at themselves for all the things that they couldn't remember anymore. For the past 2 years, it was clear that I was not the only teacher seeing this loss of memory, though other teachers did not know what might be a cause. The long-term experienced teachers especially commented nearly every day in the teachers' lounge about their frustration with the students' poorer memories. We all agree that today's students were not as strong as those of 5 years or so ago. And our principal agreed that there seemed to be some academic difficulty, most notably among the boys. Science teachers commented that students couldn't remember facts they had seemingly learned very well 3 months earlier. Because a foreign language class requires back and forth communication, class became more frustrating for all, since many students were disinclined to speak, period. Many just looked blank, many were distracted, and often they said they had just nothing to say, even when we had visitors from foreign countries there. I also noticed that they seemed much less curious than my previous students before that happened. I was concerned about what appeared to be decreasing language capacity as well as memory. But as the grades dropped, the anxiety about grades and getting into college skyrocketed. That created plenty of tension and unhappiness, as you can imagine. Even my best and brightest students were commenting about their lack of memory, and their stress level was rising because of that. But there were also indisputable visual signals that something had changed. There was an unprecedented, at least for me, spike in the number of students with fractured and broken bones.
Your time is up.
Can I just tell you one thing?
Yes.
We had a boy that came down with osteosarcoma, and he died. It took 3 years. It was the saddest thing our school ever went through. And I just want to say that if there's the slightest possibility that we could prevent one death in this hideous way by keeping the fluoride out of the water, I would say please let's look for every other way that we can help the children that they have talked about without putting it in the whole water supply.
Thanks for your testimony. Thank you all.
You're very welcome.
Let's take parents with kids, and then we're going to take a break for 5 minutes, a compassion break. So I see some of you looking uncomfortable. So parents with younger children. Again, some universal hand. We're agreeing on compassion break. Okay. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How are you? What's your name?
I'm good, and my name is Hermias.
Well, welcome. Is this your first time at the city council?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think so far?
I don't know.
Would you like to have a TV that big in your front room?
Yeah.
And hi, how are you?
Say hi.
Hi.
This is Grandma. Tell you I saw the second coming.
Okay, great. Okay. Would you like to continue?
All right. So good afternoon, Mayor Adams and commissioners. My name is Damian Fair. I'm a neuroscientist, and I'm a father of this 7-year-old boy right here and a brand new 8-week-old girl. I run a lab at OHSU where I study brain development. I'm here today to discuss why I support water fluoridation for Portland, and I'll cover 2 points. The first point regards to the significant amount of misinformation circulating on the internet, causing some concern on whether or not we should join the other 200 million Americans in using water fluoridation to prevent tooth decay. I've reviewed this evidence on fluoride and brain development, and what I've concluded is in line with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Environmental Protection Agency, the World Health Organization, and other expert bodies, and that is that optimal water fluoridation does not impair brain development. Now, there have been studies conducted in China and Iran and Mongolia and other countries where fluoride levels are naturally higher in the water, as we've heard today, and up to 15 times greater than the optimal levels that we find in the U.S. Now, these studies have been reviewed by the National Research Council and also in a recent paper that many call, that we've heard, the Harvard study. Now, the primary measurement used in all these studies is IQ, which by itself is a quite controversial way to estimate mental abilities, especially across cultures. Now, the multitude of these studies simply compared the IQ results of children with high versus low fluoride areas. The control groups, who scored marginally higher in these low fluoride areas, actually had levels of fluoridation in many of the studies that were similar to what is found in the U.S. However, even at these highest levels of exposure, only minor differences have been found, well within the standard error of measurement for IQ testing, and without controlling for other factors such as parent education, family income, nutrition, school attendance, or other children's exposure to arsenic and lead, all factors that can affect IQ. Now, the fact that in the U.S., average IQ scores have actually increased 15 points since water fluoridation was initiated in 1945 highlights the safety of this intervention. Now, my second point relates to the question, how does fluoridation actually assist in brain development? Now, some of the most influential factors that lead to typical or atypical brain development are the environment and stress. Now, the pain and stress of tooth decay reduce children's ability to learn and concentrate. These children often miss school, which engenders lower grades and increases the environmental stressors on teachers and peers, even those with healthy teeth. Now, these problems are not hypothetical. They are real, and importantly, we have an opportunity to do something about it. Now, as a father of these two beautiful children, my hope is that they will have the access to water fluoridation as I did when I was a child, but I'm also hoping that their friends and peers, not all of whom are as well off as my wife and I, have access to the same benefit. Good oral health actually promotes healthy brain development and is an important piece of maximizing all of our children's mental abilities.
Thank you. How do you think your dad did?
Good.
You're a smart kid.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome. And who's this?
This is Brianna Henrich, my granddaughter. And
hi, Brianna. How are you?
Say hi.
Hi. Hey, oh, she's shy. Scare kids.
Mayor Adams and city commissioners, my name is Mary Lou Henrich, and I'm a second-generation Portlander residing on the east side of Mount Tabor. My 89-year-old dad, my two adult children, and my granddaughter were all born in Portland. I've spent my career working in public health, focusing on improving the health of children and working to reduce health disparities and inequities suffered by our most vulnerable residents. I want to applaud you, Mayor Adams, and Commissioners Leonard and Fish, for announcing your support of fluoridated water. I hope you will make it a unanimous yes vote, Commissioner Saltzman and Fritz, after hearing the informed and supportive testimony today from many experts, residents, and community representatives. As a lifelong resident of Portland, daughter, mother, grandmother, I am here asking you to take the most effective and economical step possible to protect Portlanders' teeth from the rampant dental disease that has plagued us for decades and makes us a city with some of the highest dental decay in the nation. I'm also here to remind you that even people like my family, who've been blessed with good education, access to healthy foods, family wage jobs, and some level of dental insurance, have experienced much unnecessary dental disease simply because we were born and lived our lives in Portland without the advantage of fluoridated water. I've had several dentists comment on my and my children's teeth saying, "Oh, I can see you grew up in Portland." My father recounts similar comments. These statements were not said in a complimentary manner, but rather while shaking their heads, outlining the restorative dental work needed, along with cost, including time and pain. Please vote yes and take this long overdue step to assure all of us who drink our water from the treasured Bull Run have the preventive health benefits of fluoridated drinking water. I've been listening to a lot of the opposition, and I don't have this in my testimony. I'm not here speaking as an expert today. There are a lot of experts here who will be speaking and can refute the things that were said that I believe were not real scientifically based. Just I'm here today to say that for my granddaughter, Brianna, I'm in many ways sorry that she lives across the river now in Vancouver. but for the sake of her teeth and health and her brain, she's quite bright, as every grandmother believes. I'm glad she lives in a city where fluoride is strengthening her teeth daily as she drinks her city's water.
Brianna, how do you think Grandma did? Oh, you got very still all of a sudden. Thank you very much for your testimony. We're going to take a five-minute compassion break.
Can I get your name, please?
I'm with the Associated Press.
Here, you can just have this. Mary Lou Henrich? Yeah, you can have this.
Statement.
Sure,
that
way, great. That's me, Mary Lou Henrich, my address.
I like this part. I'm just going to use that in the story.
Sure.
I hear
it
that
is.
A lot.
It's so true. And my son, who's 33, and her father, I really wanted him to come. He's unemployed at the moment, doesn't have dental insurance. And before he was laid off, he quickly got as much done as he could. And, you know, it's really, the dentists are kind of going, my God, you know. And it's like, he was my second kid who I was really busy
with. Everyone would take their seats. We will have... We will, if everyone would, okay, ma'am.
Are you going to be able to stay to testify? Yeah? Yeah.
All right, if I could get everyone to please take their seats. Everyone, please take your seat. We've got one more panel. So we have 12. We had, is that right? We had eight, four panels. So one more panel of no's. If you could, Carl, if you could please read the names of the next four. And if I could add at the beginning of the name, we have someone who's recovering from surgery, so we're going to give them. In addition to children, if you've had surgery in the last week and you brought a note from your doctor, I'll give you priority to testify. A Ben Hoffman, Dr. Ben Hoffman in the house? Okay. I think I violated a HIPAA rule, but sorry. Anyone else with recent surgery in the last week? Anyone at all? All right, and then three more anti. Fluoride.
The next three from the opposed list are Nancy Crumpacker, Reverend Dr. Stephen Bailey, and Scott Fernandez.
Okay. And while they're coming forward, sir, Doctor, would you like to begin?
I would love to. Thank you so much, Mayor Adams and Commissioner. It's a pleasure to be here. Before I begin my testimony, I want to make one comment as a pediatrician in response to one of the statements that was put forth by one of the opponents about water being appropriate for infants to drink, and the CDC recommending that infants not drink fluoridated water. The issue is around water as a sole beverage for children 6 months and under. It is perfectly acceptable, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics formula manufacturers and the CDC, to mix infant formula with fluoridated water.
Okay.
So every time she laughed, she put her hand up to cover her mouth. As her new pediatrician, I'd worked hard to make this precocious 4-year-old girl feel comfortable with me. I soon realized she wouldn't show her teeth, and I figured out why. She didn't have any. To be more correct, she only had remnants of them. They decayed into gray stumps that blighted her otherwise radiant grin, as you saw photos of earlier. And she was ashamed to show them to the world. She was born and raised in Portland, and although her single mother did the best she possibly could, she was raising the girl alone, working two jobs, and by her own admission, giving fluoride drops was yet another thing she had to worry about. My family and I moved to Portland last summer. My wife and I have spent our entire pediatric careers working in underserved communities on reservations and urban safety net clinics. We thought we had seen severe dental disease, but it turns out we had seen nothing yet. We were shocked at the state of oral health in our patients here in Portland. We were shocked to learn about our community's approach to water fluoridation. Water in Portland is already naturally fluoridated, just not in sufficient concentrations to optimally protect our teeth. The water department already optimizes levels of other naturally occurring minerals, including sodium and chlorine, and we already accept many nutritional supplements in our food and drink, including iodine and salt, folic acid in bread, vitamin D in milk. Why should we treat fluoride any differently? I've lived 45 out of my 46 years
and practice 19 out of my 20 years as a pediatrician in communities with fluoridated water.
Can you press that button again? You accidentally hit it.
Sorry.
Got it.
Thanks.
This is the first place I've ever lived and ever practiced that didn't have fluoridated water. If fluoride was indeed a dangerous toxin with adverse health effects, as I think many people have pointed out before me, don't you think we'd see those differences in health outcomes between our city and those that do fluoridate? In fact, if you look at that data, you will see only one significant difference. Children who grew up in communities without fluoridated water have significantly higher rates of dental disease and the consequent adverse effects thereof. No higher rates of cancer, autism, birth defects, decreased IQ, or any other category of illness or disability. About 6 months ago, I took my then 16-year-old daughter to see the dentist here in Portland for her first visit. The dentist knew we were new to the practice, didn't know where we had lived previously. Emma had grown up on the Navajo Reservation and in Albuquerque, New Mexico, both places with fluoridated water. He took one look in her mouth, looked at me, and said, "Oh, where'd you guys just move from?" He knew at a single glance that she had grown up in a place with fluoridated water. The true cost of fear around water fluoridation is borne by the entire community, but is paid for most dearly by our children, who have neither choice nor voice in the matter. We're better than that. No child should ever have to hide their smile.
Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it. Hope you heal well.
Thank you so much.
Sir?
Me? Okay.
Yeah,
my name's Reverend Dr. Pastor Stephen Bailey. There's three Dr. Stephen Baileys in Portland, so I had to throw another degree, so I'd quit getting all these HIPAA confidential records sent to my office.
Oh, well.
Seemed arrogant to use my middle initial. I'm living now in the seventh decade in my southeast neighborhood within a mile. Nick Fish wasn't here, but I think Commissioner Randy Leonard was when all those cattle died out by Reynolds' Alcoa plant, and we were told that it was cows eating tansy. Same time Manhattan Project and elsewhere was seeing aluminum company outgassing causing detrimental effects, and at the same time that fluoridation was being proposed as a safe halide. I've practiced in Portland for 30 years. I run a nonprofit in North Portland where we go to the New Columbia Villa every month to teach healthy nutrition. On the back of the notebook I gave you is our nonprofit statement by Amy Rutherford Close, wife of a Portland policeman who went to the Gulf Crisis. They have two children with Gulf War handicaps, and our organization is opposing fluoridation. Amy grew up in Los Angeles, is a poor black woman, and with fluoridation lost most of her teeth. Her two children, who she has to specially adapt diets for their war-related illnesses, have no cavities. My daughter, who I will not let fluoridate her teeth, has no cavity. She's in eighth grade. You have been subjected to a terrible bastardization of the English language. If you were accounting for a budget and said, we want to take in 30% of the 100% we spend, you would not call that a balanced budget. 30% reduction in caries, which I don't believe is an actual aspect of fluoridation, is not prevention, it's reduction. So you have been talked about prevention. It is a preventative measure, but it does not prevent caries. The habits that create these caries, and you've got a whole timeline and outline. The most important things I wanted to tell you, this is a short period of time. I'm also author on my national profession's heavy metal toxicity. Guyton-Hall is our medical textbook that most medical schools use. Fluorine is listed twice. It talks about, and this is what you will find in misinformation by the proponents, fluoride does not seem to be a necessary element for metabolism. I would ask you to ask one of your supporters to identify a single healthy biochemical pathway in animal or human that involves a fluoride molecule. It does not exist by the ninth or the first edition of the top physiology biochemistry book. I have read these. You know, this is light reading, so it's the Bible. You just read them from start to finish and you try to remember it. Fluorine does not make the teeth themselves stronger, but has poorly understood effect on suppressing the cariogenic process of bacterium. Yes, it is lethal to the bacterium. It is not required, as people say, for the calcium apatite conjugation, and it weakens the bone, and along with the CDC, topical has a sensibility, but oral fluoride has almost no ability. Physiology says the topical application, but no generation from the pulp, from inside the system, from drinking water, goes into the outside of the teeth. It is a topical process. I've provided you with 10 different articles. I talk about the fact that when we started fluoridation,
your time is up.
This U.S. Pharmacopeia said 13% mercury was safe for human consumption, and I've worked on the lead pipes in Portland for a long time. The risk analysis should make you want to slow down and reconsider. Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So we have chlorine in the water.
Yes.
Ammonia.
Yes.
Sodium hydroxide.
Mm-hmm.
All very dangerous chemicals.
Yes, absolutely. I understand toxicology, but I do...
So my question to you is, do you support those chemicals being in our water?
I have always, since the early 70s, had a water filter, and I've recognized studies on chlorine and gas increasing the endothelial inflammation and increasing cardiovascular disease. So I think you need to let the chlorine out gas. Ammonia is a normal byproduct done with protein physiology, and as long as we have proper kidney function, ammonia can be an aspect for regulating microbial invasion into our water as it gets to us. But I will not drink chlorinated water unless if I have no choice.
And sodium hydroxide?
See, hydroxides and sodiums, if you look at sodium, if you look at the citation, 62, biochemicals, the normal part of human physiology, have much less potential to interfere with normal physiology. So
you're okay with sodium hydroxide?
I'm saying that will be eliminated better. No, I would prefer to drink straight from bowl one, which I have done. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, thank you. My name is Scott Fernandez. I'm a concerned citizen and a trained scientist in water chemistry. The question is, how is it reasonable to knowingly add toxic and carcinogenic chemicals in our drinking water when we don't need to? Sodium fluoride and other forms of water fluorides are waste products of the nuclear, aluminum, and fertilizer industries. These are not pharmaceutical-grade chemicals. These are waste products with known contaminants that include toxic and carcinogenic chemicals, such as arsenic, cadmium, chromium, copper, lead, mercury, and radioactive materials from the nuclear industry, such as radon, polonium, radium, and uranium. These, over time, have a cumulative effect in the human physiology and in the body. This is gross negligence by doing this knowingly and willingly. One of the things that Portland is very proud of is their Portland Community Gardens. Last Saturday, I spent the afternoon at the Cully Community Garden as we were finishing up building it and putting it into place. At that time, there were a lot of children there waiting in anticipation for the next spring to have a bounty of fresh produce that they could have for their neighborhood. But they don't know when fluoridation, if it takes place, that these chemicals that I just described will be introduced from the drinking water into the irrigation system and uptake in these fruits and vegetables that they're going to be waiting to eat. This will, again, be a cumulative effect. How do we tell them that we're knowingly giving them these toxic chemicals, allegedly for their better health? Secondly, the Water Bureau has spent millions of dollars over the years in a lead abatement program. How do we tell our citizens that we are doing everything we can to remove lead from the system through leaching and other areas when we are knowingly adding lead to the system and the drinking water that they will be consuming? It doesn't make any sense. Please vote no on fluoridation in our water. It is not a public health benefit. And as far as the treatment goes that you're talking about with chlorine and ammonia and sodium hydroxide, that is a treatment for water. There's a very distinct difference. What the fluoridation will do is a treatment for medication, not treatment for water.
So sodium hydroxide is lye.
It's Drano, essentially. Right.
And we use it to harden our soft water.
Let me finish.
I actually didn't finish my question.
Well, you're trying to be a chemist, I guess.
No, I'm asking. I don't get chemists in front of me, so I'm asking you these questions, so you'll have a chance to respond to them. We add it to the water, as required by, I think, the Oregon Health Authority, so that we manage or sort of kick back copper and lead. But in and of itself, it's a very caustic, very dangerous chemical. But in the right sort of amounts, it has an additive effect. You've heard others, and I want to hear your point. that the amount matters, the dilution matters, the parts per million matters for all of these. I would assume you would agree. So I want to give you a chance to why sodium hydroxide, which we could choose not to put in there, why that's okay.
I think you just made the point for no fluoridation because sodium hydroxide is put into the system to stop leaching of lead, yet you want to add lead through the fluoridation process. In the fluoridation process, you're going to add more sodium hydroxide because the fluoridation process of sodium fluoride will decrease the pH so that you have to add more sodium hydroxide. So you're giving the community a double whammy of adding this chemical that we don't need if we don't add fluoride. You're screwing us when you do the both things.
No, but you didn't. I appreciate that response. Now, chlorine, ammonia, sodium hydroxide, we all add to the water. And again, they're all incredibly dangerous in the wrong doses. Would you agree?
Yes and no. It depends on what kind of format you're putting it in and how you're going to use it.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your testimony and answering my questions.
Thank
all right,
you.
The next.
Off of the oppose or support?
Let's see, one more of oppose.
Okay. First, was there a Nancy Crump Packer or Mark Coleman? Oh, okay, I called you. And then we'll go, if there's no Mark Coleman, we'll go with Joe Miller, John Summer, and Floyd Jones.
And then the next four off the pro, just so they can get ready.
Okay. We'll start with Mitra Ibrahimi, Gerald Hiltz, Bob Mendelson, and Heidi Jo Grubbs.
Hi, welcome. Ma'am, would you like to begin?
Certainly. Thank you, Mayor Adams, and esteemed commissioners for this opportunity to come before you and tell you why I oppose water fluoridation. I'm Nancy Krumpacker. I'm a retired cancer physician. Professional groups maintain the safety of water fluoridation, but there is strong evidence to the contrary. You've already heard about osteosarcoma, and this is very alarming to me as a cancer specialist. It occurs in children and young adults. It's a bone cancer that may result in amputation of an arm or leg and even death. Some human studies show no association, but in 1992, the New Jersey Health Department reported a higher incidence of this cancer in young men in fluoridated versus non-fluoridated cities. A 2006 study showed a link between tap water fluoride at levels common in U.S. water supplies and this cancer in boys. The age range for which the link was most apparent was for exposures at ages 4 through 12 years. Proponents of water fluoridation will use a 2011 study as proof that water fluoridation is not linked to osteosarcoma, but there are several major problems with this study. And the first is that it did not address the age of exposure, which the 2006 study pointed out. The comparison group was older patients with longer lifetime accumulations of fluoride in their bone, so a difference would be hidden. Chronic exposure to fluoridation has also been shown to increase the risk of bone fractures in the elderly, especially the hips. These fractures result in death in about 25% of patients. Fluoride makes the bone more susceptible to fracture and causes a condition called skeletal fluorosis. In a report of bone fluoride content for residents of fluoridated Toronto who underwent total hip replacement for arthritis, two patients had bone fluoride levels in the range of skeletal fluorosis. There's been no effort to identify skeletal fluorosis in the U.S., but arthritis is the leading cause of disability here and affects 50 million adults. It is possible that a significant fraction of these cases is due to fluoride exposure. Until more studies, such as those suggested by the National Research Council in 2006, are performed, we need to take a precautionary approach. I urge the Portland City Council to avoid making the mistake of adding fluoride to our drinking water. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Hi, nice to meet you in person.
Yes, nice to meet you. Thanks for having me. Firstly, I'd like to say I have a petition here of 3,000.
So I just need to have you repeat your name.
Yes, my name is Mark Coleman. I'm a concerned citizen. I have a petition here of over 3,000 voters that have voted against fluoridation. But I'm not really here to talk about fluoride. I'm here to talk about the Democratic side of it. In the ordinance, the timeline says that it should be effectively added to our water by March the 1st, 2014. When this was first raised, Randy Leonard, according to the Oregonian, said that it would take 5 years to build the fluoridation plant. Now, some people are saying that there's an initiative that's been filed that would go to ballot in May 2014, and that this shortening of the timeline is a way to ram this through without voters having time to get the signatures on the ballot and oppose it. So what I'm suggesting to you, to prove to us that this is not true, why not change this part of the ordinance to 3 years? It was a compromise, not 5 years, not 15 months, but 3 years. And I also would like to note that most of you have, before this meeting, decided that you were against this. And before you heard anything anyone had to say. I'm not asking you to change that. I'm asking you to change the timeline to prove that you're not trying to get this in before the citizens have a chance to get an initiative and vote on it.
Thank you.
And Mayor, if we could, before we vote next week, get some information from the Water Bureau on the timelines and what it all entails. I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Just made a note. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Joe Miller. Times have changed dramatically since fluoridation was initiated. When it was initiated, it was believed that in order to have a beneficial effect, it had to be swallowed. The current research, and it's pretty conclusive research, indicates that only a topical application will have a beneficial effect. So the whole idea of fluoridation systemically is inconsistent with the current evidence. Number two, there's been a dramatic increase in our cumulative aggregate exposure to fluoride across time. As more and more communities have gotten fluoridated, more and more fluoridated water is being used to process food and beverages and drinks and so forth. There are a number of fluoridated pesticides that are used. Those fluoridated pesticides wind up as fluoride residue in the foods. So basically, we have, you know, higher and higher levels there. Then we have fluoridated dental products, toothpaste, rinses, and so forth, and a number of other sources as well. So the point is that across time, since fluoride has been initiated in the 40s and 50s, we have more and more and more cumulative exposure. This cumulative exposure, this aggregate exposure, is creating more and more health problems. In the 40s and 50s, fluorosis was a very rare condition. The most recent data from the CDC for 2010 says that 41% of youth 12 to 15 have some level of fluorosis. Fluorosis is a sign of excessive fluoride, and it's a function of all those different things going on. There are all sorts of other health problems that are occurring as well. We now know, and we did not know when fluoridation was initiated, that infants and young children are especially vulnerable to fluoride. You can begin to see, you know, society's reacting. The ADA recommends fluoride-free toothpaste under 2. The CDC says that under 6, you should use child-strength toothpaste, which is half the normal level. The Health Services Administration recently reduced the level of fluoride. And all of this is an acknowledgement of this increasing fluoride load that everybody is exposed to. In 2011, Dr. Kathleen Thiessen, who is a noted risk analysis professional and a person who participated in the 2006 National Research Council study, reviewed the research on the effects of fluoridation on oral health. Her conclusion, I'll just give her a conclusion. This is a quote. "The available data, responsibly interpreted, indicate little or no beneficial effect of water fluoridation on oral health. This is a risk professional. My comments, the longer comments, are available over there. All the links are in there. I would encourage you to review the study. It's an incredibly revealing study. Given all
the... Sir, your time's up. Any last comment?
Yes. Given all of the above, why will we subject our children, our animals? There's information on horses.
Comment just meant a short barb.
Well, this is going to be very short. Why will we subject our children, animals, or ourselves to fluoridating our water supply and everything we grow or create with that water supply, which will further...
This is more than a barb.
Thank you.
But I appreciate your passion. Floyd, can you press that button in front of you so we...
That one?
Ms. Jones.
Yes. Floyd Jones, native Portlander. I oppose this fast-track plan to fluoridate our water supply for many reasons. If you want to address children's poor diet and dental hygiene problems, expand at low cost the free dose-controlled fluoride program currently offered by schools to include making that available during the summer break. This addresses the target population without causing harm to others. We know that families do have the option to reject that available free fluoride. Contrary to the ordinance statement, the city has violated its own public involvement principles adopted in 2010. I attended all of the Water Bureau budget meetings from September to June, as well as a wholesale customer meeting. Absolutely no mention of this plan was ever brought forth during any of those meetings. Bull Run Advocacy and environmental organizations and others have had no opportunity to adequately consider this plan. Hardworking citizens struggle to afford the 63% water rate increase that the majority of this city council imposed since 2008. Those on kidney dialysis are already paying high medical and water bills. They're going to be harmed. How can we protect the families with infants, you know, who need to prepare infant formula but can't do so using fluoridated water, our pets, our organic gardens and beer, and those who reject the idea of forced medication? The Sacramento Water Department in 2010 asked City Council to terminate fluoridation, reporting their biggest cost came down the road, much higher than expected costs when their system was initially installed a decade prior. I provided you with a document, their report on that. Their equipment was harmed by the acid, requiring replacement, higher operational costs, including the cost of the caustic acid itself. Operational costs in Portland alone will raise water rates. The Portland Water Bureau has noted in their report a low confidence in their project cost estimates. Fast-tracking a five-year project to 15 months demonstrates there's Water Bureau budget bloat and an effort to thwart the democratic process. What budget cuts weren't made that allows for this fast-tracking? We heard during the budget process that the Water Bureau had 50 vacant positions, unlike the Bureau of Environmental Service. 99% of fluoridated water will return to the environment. The Water Bureau committed ratepayers to the most expensive fish restoration plan that's now up from $100 million to $124 million. Fluoride causes harm to fish. What scientific study has the city done, or anyone, that has determined our individual fluoride exposure from all sources? Before you can say fluoride ingestion is safe, you need to know one's total fluoride exposure from all sources.
So you mentioned to improve and beef up the school dental health program, and I want to give you a chance to respond. The slides of the kids we saw, another mention is kindergartners are 5 or 6 years old. What do we do about the 0 to 5 or 6 year olds that are not in school?
Well, infants should not be ingesting fluoride because that's where you're going to have the fluorosis problem. So
you heard some other testimony that after that time passes, right, you still have years. You still have years. They're not in school. I just want to give you a chance to.
Well, I'm not an expert, but I mean, I think you can expand a program. You can expand a topical fluoride program and keep it out of our water supply.
Okay, thank you all very much. All right, four pro.
They are Mitra Ibrahimi, Gerald Hiltz, and Bob Mendelson, and Heidi Jo Grubbs. And then do you want to go back to the opposed list for the next four?
We'll do 4, 8, and 8. How's that?
Four more support. After these will be Barry Taylor, Eric Brody, Virginia Feldman, and I can't read the first name. I believe the last name is Love.
Hi, welcome. I forgot which name was first on this panel.
Mitra.
Mitra, how do you do?
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Council members. My name is Mitra Ibrahimi. I'm Clinic Operation Manager of Virginia Garcia Health Center Dental Clinic. Our clinics predominantly serve low-income individuals such as uninsured children and adults. And I believe that all these patients will benefit from fluoridated water being readily accessible. Fluoridation is a community health procedure that provides all children and adults, regardless of income, education, or ethnicity, prevention from tooth decay. Fluoridation is a preventive measure that not only benefits those with dental insurance, but goes even further for those who do not. I think this is an important implication to consider when analyzing such a decision to add fluoride to our community's water. At Virginia Garcia, we regularly treat children with rampant cases of tooth decay, causing painful reactions. Too often, we have patients under the age of 4 years with such a severe cavities that their teeth could not be extracted without surgical procedure. These children do not have access to continuous dental care, nor they have the necessary knowledge to prevent such a problem from occurring in the first place. More importantly, these children live in areas that lack water fluoridation. I personally have given fluoride supplement to my two children as they were growing up. I wish there was access to water with fluoride to ease my concern to their dental health. As a mother, nonprofit dental manager, I advocate the process of water fluoridation as an effective and efficient way of improving our community dental health. Drinking fluoridated tap water is the best protection against unnecessary pain and suffering caused by tooth decay. This is your opportunity to make the right decision for the people of Portland that will positively impact this city's health for years to come. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your testimony. Hi, welcome. Thanks for waiting.
No problem. Thank you for having me. My name is Jerry Hiltz. I'm just a concerned citizen, and I don't have any...
Just. You are a concerned citizen.
Thank you, Sam. I just have three quick points I want to make. The first point has to do with science. Last night at the Democratic National Convention, former President Bill Clinton got a bit of a laugh line when he mentioned that his budget's balanced because his party knew how to add, and got another laugh when he suggested that the opponents disregarding the science of economics was causing them to double down on trickle down. It was funny, but it points to a bigger problem I think we have, particularly with the party that he was mocking at the time, which is we have this thing in the world right now where we seem to be anti-science. And we see it in the economics that he was referring to. We see it when we talk about when certain people's personal faiths are questioned by theories of evolution. We see it when people feel that their economic interests are threatened by the science of global warming. And despite overwhelming evidence, or just simple addition in some cases, we have groups of people that find these fringe science claims or any sort of tangent that supports their theme and latch onto that and ignore anything that doesn't. And I think I could see a lot of that around me and my friends and neighbors here in their emotional response when we had the expert panels up here discussing it earlier. They were rejecting it just in sort of almost emotional violence in their faces because it just disagreed with them. And I think that's based on fear. And so I think I want to applaud the council for getting past the fear, looking at the science, looking at the real data, looking at the expert opinion and not latching on to the fringe opinions and doing what's right for the health of our community. The second point I want to make, and I'm sorry that Commissioner Fish is not here to hear this, I wanted to applaud his decision to not kick this down the road, not shirk your responsibility as our elected officials to vote on this. A number of people have suggested that you delay it or that you push it back to a popular vote. There's a place for that, but I don't think every decision needs to be based on the whims of the people, especially ones when we have fear. I appreciate your role as considered legislators to listen to these things and make decisions and vote on that. And I'm just going to leave it there and let my time run out. Thank you.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Mayor Adams and members of the commission. I'm Dr. Bob Mendelson. I was born and raised in Portland and have practiced pediatrics here for 40 years plus. I'm the father of four, the grandfather of eight, all of whom received supplemental oral fluoride because it was not available in the water. Every child health organization to which I belong strongly supports fluoridation at 0.7 parts per million for all drinking water. These include the American Academy of Pediatrics, for whom I am a national spokesperson, the Oregon Pediatric Society, on whose board I sit on, and the Children's Health Alliance, Children's Health Foundation, of which I'm also a board member. Our fluoridation coalition that has been formed represents 77 different organizations that have children's medical and dental health as one of their primary objectives. They are also in full support of fluoridation of our water. I prescribed oral fluoride for all my patients who lived in non-fluoridated areas. Some of my patients were fortunate enough, as has been mentioned, to live in fluoridated communities such as Beaverton and Vancouver. They did not require this supplementation. During my 40-plus years in practice, I never saw a single case of fluorosis in children. I'm most concerned about the unfortunate children who did not receive adequate mental or dental care, and those who can't afford oral or topical fluoride. As a personal aside, I'd like to mention that I live, my current residence is in the West Slope Water District. West Slope has never approached us as members of, as their constituents, basically, to see if we were interested in having fluoride, but because we're a small community contiguous with a very large community that is fluoridated, Beaverton, I have a feeling that if we did take a vote in West Slope, we'd fluoridate our water as well. The other personal side I want to mention is I haven't had a chance to look it up since the statement was made. There's no medical evidence, to the best of my knowledge or anything I could find as I looked it up, that fluoride has any suppressive effects at 0.7 parts per million on suppressing thyroid function, which was mentioned earlier today. I urge you to, well, let me say one more thing. It's embarrassing to practice in the largest community in the United States, which has not made arrangements to fluoridate its or our water. I urge you to support fluoridation and to make Portland in the same majority as the 70% of the rest of the country who have the benefits of fluoride in their water. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your testimony. And you look like you have the appearance of what everyone, I think, a lot of folks would think a doctor would look like, and you talk like a doctor would talk for a male doctor.
I'll take that as a compliment.
But, you know, I've been called a lot of things in this debate online, and I'm going to call you them and see how you respond. Aren't you just a mouthpiece for big fluoride?
I'm a mouthpiece for the American Academy of Pediatrics, who looks at all things having to do with health issues and who has decided that fluoridation of all public water supplies would be a good idea for the children that we are privileged to take care of.
And aren't you, though, aren't those organizations hostile to looking critically at fluoride?
Not a bit. As a matter of fact, our dental colleagues who have sided with us in the ADA, American Dental Association, and all the local colleagues and dentists that you've heard from, they will be less busy because if children have less cavities or caries, as we've said, they're just going to have less work to do. That's a good thing, and we're all for it. It's kind of like pediatricians being all